You are listening to BensTorah.com.
We're going to see this three-day age, which interestingly enough, Rabbi Yechiel, Yaakov Yechiel Weinberg, he is actually, Rabbi Moshe references his tshuva. Rabbi Moshe doesn't really like it. We'll see why, but that's okay, because I assume he wouldn't like Rabbi Moshe's tshuva either, certain parts. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in this Liga, that's just how things go. So, this three-day age was asked a fascinating question with a twist that I haven't seen any other Shaila in this sugya. Meaning all the other questions that we've seen was, okay, God forbid, a woman is carrying a Tay-Sachs child, a good woman is carrying a mamzer, a woman is carrying whatever other situation, could she get an abortion? Here, the Sri Deish has a twist. Look what his question is. He says, a woman has machalas ademes, which is raton, I think it means rubella, because it's called ademes, because it's a big red rash that a person with rubella develops, a child, and apparently if pregnant woman gets rubella, then it could be very dangerous for the fetus.
What is it? What is it called?
It's a virus. And says the Sri Deish that he's told by the doctors that children who are born, fetuses who are affected with this rubella virus in vitro, Haim, second line, ruba deruba charashim, they are deaf, oshotim, gemurim, they could be, there's genetic, they're going to be mentally disabled, and or sumim, or blind. Now listen to this. Look at the second line. Al pi hachok ba'anglia, he was asked by an English doctor, a doctor from England, according to English law, mechuyavim harofim lahapil es ha'ubar. English law dictated that they were if there's such a baby who is in vitro, you are required to abort that baby.
If the parent wants.
That's not what it says.
You don't want?
That's what it says.
Correct. Oh my goodness.
So that's frightening. And therefore the doctor is a frum Jew, and the doctor is scared. Harofi Shoel, Yesh Lalacha, Shebeim Yavar Alosa Achok, he's worried that if he doesn't follow that law, that English law of performing a mandatory abortion for somebody who is, for a baby, for a fetus affected with this disease, Yaviru Mimishmarato, they'll fire him. Why? Because it's socialized medicine, and therefore the doctors in England are employed by the government. Ki al piachok ba'angli nechshav harov lepkidei mamsha. Legally, they are considered government officials, socialized medicine, and therefore if he doesn't do that which standard procedure is, then he could lose his medical license. So you realize that this shaila is not just a shaila about abortion, it's also a shaila of, let's find a heter for this poor doctor to be able to keep his job, which adds an interesting twist to the abortion shaila. Okay, so here, the Sri Deish suggests something that many people have heard, but it's not accepted by all. But look what the Sri Deish says. Miu, yesh makom lomar, dekodem mem yom, ein istu larogis uber. Perhaps before 40 days after conception, it's not considered, it's not a problem to do an abortion. Why? Because of the famous line that before mem yom hu, maya ba'alma. He's mere water. This fetus is not called a fetus, it's not called a baby, it's not called a human life, it's not called a nefesh, it's not called a neshama, it's called water. Where do we see that?
England only?
No, in Gemara. Where do we the Gemara, that's the next line. The Gemara, where do we see this concept of Maya Ba'alma, that a fetus before 40 days does not have a halachic status of a baby or a fetus or a human being or a neshama? That's from a Gemara in Yevamos. Look at the Gemara in Yevamos in source number 3. Before you do, the halacha is that if a woman is born to a Kohen, her maiden name is Kohn. So Miss Kohn marries Mr. Israel, a Yisrael. While she's married to Mr. Israel, of course, she's not allowed to eat truma. When she was in Daddy's house, in Mr. Cohn's house, she was allowed to. Once she gets married to Mr. Israel, she's no longer allowed to eat truma. Her husband, Rahman al-Islam, dies. So what does she do? So it depends. If she has children, she is forever disconnected from her father because she's her own family, and she's never going to be able to eat truma again. However, if she doesn't have any children, then she goes back home to Daddy's house and Mr. Cohn, and she could eat truma like her father can. She goes back to Daddy's, Mr. Cohn's house, and she eats truma. Now, her husband dies, drops dead. Could she eat truma the next day? No children. Well, what might we be worried?
Pregnant.
Maybe she's expecting, maybe she's pregnant. If she's pregnant, then she already has her own family, and then she's not allowed to eat truma if she's not pregnant. Says the Gemara Yevamos, that, you know what, right after her husband dies, she could go ahead and eat truma the next day. Why? Says the Gemara of Chista. That's true until 40. She could eat truma for the next. It says the Gemara. If she's not pregnant, then she's not pregnant. And if she is pregnant, then for the first 40 days, Maya ba'alma. This, I don't use the word fetus, this bunch of cells is just considered water in her body. It's not considered a baby. And therefore, it's not considered that she has a fail. It's not considered that she has children. And she, that baby is called Maya Bam. So from this Gemara Yevamos, we get the,
which would mean 1 second before the baby pops out.
Yeah, here we're talking about the other side. Here we're talking about it's only in the first 40 days, not considered a baby, not considered anything.
Oh,
that
source.
Yeah, it's just considered water. And therefore, according to this, he's saying that there would be room to, yes, be able to perform an abortion before 40 days. And this is in a position that is adopted by some poskim. The problem is that a lot of the genetic testing that determines that a baby has certain genetic diseases, we don't know the answer. You know, first, sometimes it takes a woman 2-3 weeks to figure out that she's pregnant, and even if she gets tested immediately, a lot of the tests don't indicate genetic abnormalities until later on in carrying. So this Shaila, the fact that the possibility of finding out a genetic mutation before 40 days is not so common. But if it would be, so says the Sri Deish, you could maybe be Mekel. He asks a very simple question on source number 4. Can I ask you a question? Let's say, we raise this question, Yom Kippur. Rabbi, I just found out that I'm pregnant. I'm 3 weeks pregnant. Do I have to fast? Well, of course, pregnant women have to fast. But Rabbi, I know that I'm, whatever the situation is, if a woman is 3 weeks pregnant, will we be Mechal Shabbos to save a 3-week-old pregnancy? Yes. A 5-day-old pregnancy? Yes, we will. We'll be Mechal Shabbos. So asks the Sri Deish, wait a second, how could you be Mechal Shabbos for this Ubar, this, if it is before 40 days, when you're telling me that before 40 days it's not even considered a human being, or a neshama, or a fetus, or an embryo, or it's just water? How could you have this double standard? You hear the Kasha? Yeah, the kasha, it's a gewaldig kasha. How, if you're considering it water and therefore you could abort it, then how could you be mechal Shabbos for it? So look what he says in Nod Chav Zayin, in the middle of 4. He says, I'm sorry, in source number 4 he quotes the Ramban. The Ramban says that what's the reason why you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos? We said this svara once before. What's the reason you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos to save a human being? Chalel of Shabbos Achas, Kadesh Shishma Shabbos is Harbe. If you're Mechalel of this Shabbos, you'll be able to enable this person to keep Shabbos for the rest of his life. If this fetus is 4 days old, 3 days old, it's a bunch of cells, and you're Mechalel Shabbos to save him, it, her, whatever you want to call it. Well, is it true that if you wait 9 months, or 8.5 months, and then you wait a few years, this little boy, little girl will grow up to be somebody who will be able to keep Shabbos? Yes. There's no difference whether it's before 40 days or after 40 days. So what is he saying? He's saying that the heter to be Mechal Shabbos is not because it's a human being. The heter to be Mechal Shabbos is not because it's a neshama. The heter to be Mechal Shabbos is not because we're considering it to be life. The heter to be Mechal Shabbos is because this is something, pre-life if you want to call it, water, potential life, thank you, that's the best word, it's potential life that will not only potentially live, but potentially keep Shabbos. And that's the heter to be Mechal Shabbos. So on one hand, you could abort it because it's Maya Ba'alma. On the other hand, if something happens to it, you could be Mechal Shabbos to save it in order to give it the potential capacity to be keep Shabbosim later in its life, which is a beautiful chiluk between these two, between Hilchas Shabbos and Hilchas Abortion. Hilchas. Now, this tshuva is very exceedingly long, and I cut and pasted little pieces, as you'll notice. It's very, 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 very long. I'm jumping now till paragraph Chav Zayin in the Sri Deish. Chav Zayin.
Who's the Sri Deish?
The Sri Deish was not so long ago. He was a European posek around the time of probably in the 50s, 60s. He is the one who gave the most famous heter of Kol Isha that NCSY relies upon. That NCSY relies that they can have mixed singing because of the heter for Kiruv to keep the kids religious and to get them. So the Sri Deish lived in, I don't know if we're exactly, maybe Germany, Sweden, Switzerland, And he was involved, he was aware of the modern era and the modern
Zeitgeist,
thank you. And he was aware, his feet were on the ground. So he's not contemporary now, but he was, you know, certainly in the past 60 years, 50 years, 40 years. So he was alive, I think, when Ramosha was alive. And Ramosha actually refers to this tshuva. The next point, the Chav Zayin, is he quotes the Svar of the Chavas Yoyer. And this is, again, a Svar that we mentioned once before. The Chavas Yoyer suggests that maybe, what's the Isser of abortion? Again, if a non-Jew does abortion, it's Ritzicha. But for a Jew who is not, does not call Ritzicha, says the Chavas Yoyer, what is abortion considered? Says the Chavas Yoyer, it's considered Hashchas HaZera, spilling seed. Literally. It's seed, right? It's fertilized seed, maybe more so. According to this, he comes out with something fascinating. He says that if a woman, and we mentioned this story in passing, but according to, look at Chav Zayin, Im nachzik v'svar sachav esyoyer, she'yisod he'esashal rigos uber mishum hashchas hazera, if you assume it's hashchas hazera, well, the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam is that women are not obligated in the prohibition of spilling seed. And if a woman is not obligated in the prohibition of spilling seed, it's only for men, then if abortion is only spilling seed, it comes out that a woman should be able to perform an abortion. Let me add one point. Rabbeinu Tam says that the issur hashchas hazera is only for those who have a mitzvah to do pruvu. And a woman who doesn't have a mitzvah to do pruvu, therefore does not have an issur hashchas hazera, and therefore should be able to spill seed and also do an abortion. But he says we don't pass like that. Well, Ladina, the last underlying line, Ladina Helu, Tosus can conclude, Daf Nashim Asuros Lahashle Zera. Even women have the prohibition of spilling seeds, not just an Isra on a man, it's Isra on a woman also, even though they don't have Peruvu. And therefore, he brings a fascinating proof that Hashchas Zera is not because of Peruvu. He says that one of the reasons that Chazal say the Mabel happened was because the Bnei HaMabel, the people of the Dor HaMabel, were Mashchis Zera. They spilled their seed. Now, can I ask you a question? Those Goyim, those Bnei Noach, do they have a mitzvah of Puruvu?
Sure.
No?
No.
It's not one of the Zionists of Puruvu. I know you're going to say Adam Rishon was given to Adam Rishon.
It was because
you're saying until Asina, they did have the mitzvah of Puruvu. He's assuming that the Adar Mabel didn't have Mirza Prabhu. I hear. Okay, so we have to think about that. Okay, I hear. Okay, so we have to revisit that. Okay, next point. In point Lamed Tes, we skipped a whole bunch and let's read the H, but I brought it to you for the next point. There's another opinion, which is fascinating. So we just said that maybe abortion is Hashchas spilling seed. Okay, there's another opinion that says maybe abortion is not spilling seed, it's considered, because that's only Zera. Here it's already a fetus. So the next opinion is that he's going to bring from the Maharit in Lamed Tes. The Shazuchus Maharit says that the reason why a Jew can't do an abortion is because of chavala. It's injuring, wounding. You're not allowed to wound somebody. You're not allowed to take a knife and slit somebody's arm, face, ear, or fetus. It's a chavala. Says the Sridesh, if that's the case, if the Maharit is correct, that the Isra is chavala, you know what's going to come out? What would happen if am I allowed to allow myself to be injured? Am I allowed to enter a boxing ring? I know that I'm going to be punched in the face, and I'm going to bleed. I'm going to get a black and blue mark. Am I allowed to submit myself to that? Yeah. How about this? Am I allowed to play paintball? You play paintball, you get black and blue marks. Chavala. So it's machlokas. It's machlokas Rishonim. When my son asked on Chol Hamoed, I just didn't tell him the other shita. It says it's us. It's not posh at all. Not simple at all. I'm not so confident that it's mutter. But, okay, kids like to play paintball. So there is an opinion that says that a person is allowed to be mochel their own chavala, an injury to themselves. I could permit you to punch me. There is an opinion like that. I could permit you to slice me with a knife. If that's the case, I mean, that's what elective surgery is, that's what cosmetic surgery is on some level. If that's the case, we call it something wild. If the isser of abortion is chavala, If you hold that a person is allowed to be mochel and allow chavalah to occur to themselves, guess what? A mother, a pregnant woman, is the, according to this, the owner of her body and could allow. She's saying, oh, what do you want to do? You want to slice me? You could slice me. You could be do chavala me. If all abortion is a chavala to the mother, so you could do chavala to me. If she wants an abortion, she could get an abortion, which is absurd, asks the Sri Deish. But that's what should come out. If you hold like the Maharit, that the isra of abortion is chavala, is injuring, it's going to come out crazy that according to those opinions that say a person's allowed to injure themselves, the opinion of the Ramah, it comes out that a woman could permit herself to have an abortion.
Chavala to the mother or to the fetus?
He's assuming to the mother. If you're saying it's to the fetus, well, at this point, like Ploni Almoni said, it's Ubra Yerachima. It's still part of her. Okay, next point. The next point is actually the Shita of the Sri Deish as far as what you're allowed to do. Hayotze in paragraph Mem says the Sri Deish, this is my psak. Hayotze mikol hashakla v'tariya lehalacha. What comes out from all of my discussion, again, I only gave you a taste, but he had a very, very long tshuva going through the sugya, with a woman who is sick with the machla of ademes, this red disease, which is, I think, rubella, and the child... What?
It is.
Yeah?
Ademes is rubella.
Ademes is rubella, thank you.
According to Google Translate.
Oh, thank you. And the child will be born with, missing limbs or missing his mind with some kind of genetic deformity. I underline that kodem mem yom leheryona, before 40 days of her pregnancy, mutter lehapila se'uber, it's permitted to abort. Because during those 40 days, the beginning of the embryonic development, it's just considered maya ba'am. And that's the psak of the Sri Deish. That's the psak of the Sri Deish. So if you ever hear someone saying, oh, before 40 days, you're allowed to do an abortion, don't just say yes, don't say no, just say yes, that's the psak of the Sri Deish. I don't know if everyone's going to agree with that, but that's what the Sri Deish says. And interestingly enough, in Hilcha, there's another aspect, another area in Halacha where we see the distinction between pre-40 days and more than 40 days. Let's say I want to be zocha in something for an unborn baby. Let's say I want to be zocha, I'm walking in the street, my wife is pregnant, or my sister-in-law, my niece, somebody's pregnant, and I want to give the baby a gift. And I find this in the street. I say, oh, let me lift this up from Hefker and acquire for an unborn baby, for a fetus. It worked, at least according to one opinion. It's the baby is there, it's inside his mother. However, there's an opinion that says, but before 40 days, I couldn't do that. The zechiah did not work. The zechiah did not work for the that less than 40 days. So you see an idea, another area in halacha that there might be a distinction between before 40 days and after 40 days. Okay. Now, okay, so now, what we're going to do now is we're going to look at the Igros Moshe. We're going to skip the end of the Sri Deish. Hopefully we'll come back to it. We're going to go to source number 5, please. And we're going to go back to Ramosha. And the last part of the Sri Deish relates to what Ramosha is saying. So let's look at what Ramosha says in source number 5. We started the Tshuva last week. And Ramosha basically said, I summarize it in the first line of Ramosha, Mefurish betosus, the iser bepshitus, the iser rechit, ritzicha. Abortion is nothing less than murder. Don't give me anything like, oh, you're just doing hashchas asar, spilling seed. Don't tell me it's just chavala. It's mamish murder with a capital M, de'oraisa. What? What? Everyone agrees that a Ben Noach who does abortion is considered a tzicha. Nobody questions that. And it's one of the seven mitzvahs, it's part of the seven mitzvahs of Ben Noach, and they will be killed if they perform an abortion. That's correct. However, the question of what about a Jew, so that is what we're discussing, and we had all the different opinions. And now we're seeing that Ramosha's opinion is that the issa for a Jew is just like a guy, and a Jew is also considered a tzicha if a Jew aborts a baby. So a Jewish doctor who does abortions, in Reb Moshe's eyes, that is considered not somebody who is spilling seed, not somebody who is doing chavala, but a rotzeach. But right. But since he's not a living, standing, walking human being, there won't be a punishment. They won't carry a capital punishment.
It depends upon who does it, or depend upon the person who wants it being done.
The person who does it.
Run my head there. The person who does it. Do it.
The person who does it.
Oh.
The person performing the abortion.
So if he can do it, and even if the person getting it doesn't want it, it's not mitzvah.
It doesn't matter whether the person wants it or not. If you do an abortion,
let's say he's letting you, so it's like he's wanting it, or she's wanting it.
I can't let you kill me. If I let you kill me, you're still called a murderer.
Right, that I'm saying. So if the woman was a potter, but
well,
she
again, again, it's nothing to do with the woman. It's talking about the doctor.
Right. So I'm saying, but if you saw the other person, it could be also to let it happen to you.
You say like getting a haircut, but Isha could get a...
Lefneiva, no, that's because Los Akifa. Yeah, no, yeah, Lefneiva. The woman who goes to the doctor is violating Lefneiva. Yeah, that's
right.
True.
And
also,
the doctor is doing it too.
The doctor is not a violating Lefneiva. The doctor is violating Ritzicha, according to Moshe. Or
right.
Hashkas Zera, or Chavallah, whatever it is.
But she should be Chai Ritzicha also, because if she's letting it, it could be Ritzicha for her too.
She didn't do Ritzicha, she's not taking a knife into her.
I'm asking, if you get somebody to do it.
So that's not called Ritzicha, that's called Lefneiver Ritzicha.
To all?
Yeah. Okay, says to us number 5, he says, Ramosha is the most extreme. He's Mamish, he's Eish Lahava, and we're going to see some very strong words in this tshuva shortly. And he's going to have some very nice things to say, maybe not, about some other Rabbanim, which is very uncharacteristic, but we'll see that soon. The Gam Pasha. So Moshe says, not only is it Ritzicha, capital M, it's also, look at what he says in the next point, because this, I haven't seen anyone else say this. The Gam Pashut, Pashut, yeah, Shehu Bedin Yehorig Val Yavar. If a doctor said, do an abortion or I will kill you, he should say, kill me, rather than force me to do an abortion. Just like we find, he says, the same thing is true if there would be somebody who's, okay, without getting to the proof, he says that would be, there would be a din of Yeharog Val Yavar. Now comes Rav Unterman. Rav Unterman actually wrote this tshuva before Rav Moshe. And Rav Unterman raises this question, because Rav Unterman also holds that it's, he doesn't say it's Ritzich, we'll see Rav Unterman's tshuva soon. Rav Unterman holds that it's not real Ritzicha, it's sort of like Abizrayu to Ritzicha. Sort of like Ritzicha, which is Abizrayu. Abizrayu means it's not the real thing, but it's in the
realm
of Ritzicha. You know, it's sort of like there's Gilya Arayas and then there's Negia, or there's Gilya Arayas and then there's looking where you shouldn't look. That's Abizrayu. So there's Ritzicha and then there's Abizrayu, the accessories of Ritzicha, but it's not real Ritzicha. That's Rav Unterman's opinion. And says Rav Unterman, look what he says. He says, I'll say it outside. What are the parameters? When do we say Yeharag Val Yavar? When do we say Yeharag Val Yavar? The Shulchan Aruch says, the Ramah Paskins in the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeh, when it talks about Yeharag Val Yavar, it says you only have Yeharag Val Yavar for a lo sa'aseh hamefurash bakra. It has to be a lo sa'aseh that's explicit. Anything else that relates to Avodah Zarah, that relates to Shvichas Damim, that relates to Gilui Arayos, even though for Shvichas Damim and Gilui Arayos and Avodah Zarah, you have to be killed, but anything that's an accessory of Yisrayu, it's only those things that are a lo sa'aseh hamefurash bakra. So for example, walking into a church, you have to give your life not to do Avodah Zarah. What about walking into a base of Avodah Zarah? Is walking into a base of Avodah Zarah a lo sa'aseh hamefurash bakra? No, so you don't have to give up your life for it. Let's assume that. Similarly, says Rav Unterman, how in the world could anyone say that, how in the world could Rav Moshe say that it's a Yeharag Val Yavar? Even if you assume it's Ritzicha, or if you assume it's Avizrayu or Ritzicha, how do we know? What's the source in the Torah that you can't do an abortion? The Torah says, if you spill the blood of a man inside a man, meaning abortion, you deserve to be killed. Is that a lo sa'aseh? No. It says, if you do this, you will get killed. It doesn't say, don't do this. It's not a lo sa'aseh. And therefore, Rav Unterman proves from the fact that there's not a lo sa'aseh written explicitly that says, do not do an abortion, there's no such pasuk in the Torah, it can't be Yaharat Val Yavar.
And therefore, my chosis doesn't apply, because you're...
You're giving another svara. That's correct. That's correct. The Chazanish said that svara last week. Yes. Yes. Without getting... And Ramosha also suggests that svara. Okay. So that's just one point in Ramosha. What I did in here, and what I'm going to do a few times, is Ramosha will make an argument, and I'm going to try to bring some responses. At least here is some of Rav Unterman's response. Ramosha says, oh, it's Yaharat Val Yavar. Rav Unterman says, it can't be Yaharat Val Yavar. Because it's not a los say explicit in the Torah to not do an abortion. So now we're going to the fun part. Ramosha's tshuva, where he says that abortion is utzicha, one of his main sources was the Rambam. And the Rambam says that the only time you're ever allowed to kill a fetus is if the fetus is a rodef and endangering the mother. Anything short of that, you're not allowed to. That's what the Rambam says. And Ramosha says, well, Rambam, why do you need to be any human being who's in danger? If you would be in danger, if you would be running after me with a knife, what would I do to you? I'd kill you. If you'd be running after me with a gun, I'd kill you. So there's nothing about being a fetus. Rodef is anyone who's running after me, I would kill them first, because he's a Rodef. Says Ramosha, you see from that, that in the Rambam's eyes, the Rambam considers that baby to be like a regular human. And if the only heter to kill that baby is, if that baby is being rodef for me, like any of you would be rodef for me, you adult, you know, adult walking, running, speaking, thinking, learning, people would be rodef for me, I'd be able to kill you. That's the only heter that the Rambam allows to kill a fetus. So it must be a fetus is completely a human being. That's the Rambam. And based on that Rambam, that's what Ramosha takes as the simple understanding that a fetus is a regular, real, live human being with all the rights that a live, adult human being has, and therefore you can't kill that baby unless the baby's a rodef, like if any of you would be a rodef. Ah. That's a diuk in a Rambam. Ramosha says...
What's the actual lashon of the Rambam that leads...
That I don't want to go into that. That was... The Rambam says... I'll tell you what he says.
Any other organ... If there's a cancerous organ, you take out the organ. So
no, but here the question is this baby a baby?
It's not a human being.
No, the Rambam says the word rodef explicitly twice. He calls the fetus a rodef. He says that twice. Two times the Rambam repeats that word. He says the baby is a rodef. Sure. He repeats it twice. Yes, explicitly. So maybe it's all based on a diak and a Rambam, because the Rambam could have said a different thing. The Rambam could have said, you know, an Uber who's endangering the mother, you could kill him because he's not a real person. That's what I would have said. But the Rambam didn't say that. It said because he's a Rodev, so it must be that he is a real person, but you're allowed to kill him because you're allowed to kill Rodevs. So it's a deek on the Rambam. So maybe, you know, you're going to prohibit this girl, poor girl, from getting an abortion. You're going to bring a Tay-Sachs baby into the world because of a deek on the Rambam. Says Ramosha, oh yeah. Oh yeah, I'll tell you how you learn Rambams. Look at what Ramosha says in source number 6. V'divrei hevel, it's garbage for somebody to say that the Rambam wasn't careful what he wrote. That he only wrote that it's because of Rodef, but he didn't really mean that, etc. V'gam hu zilzal, look at the second last line on the page, on page 5. It's a zilzal kol piskei harambam. Shebechol sefer, it would be a zilzal to all the psak of the Rambam and his entire sefer if you would say, no, he's not so medayek. Shehu lo medayek hazeh, etc. So he's saying, if you're going to say, oh, it's only a diak in the Rambam, we can't really learn from a diak, he says, take a hike. We definitely can learn from a diak in the Rambam. And therefore, Ramosha, we're now in Ramosha's tshuva. Ramosha says, therefore, look on the top of page 6, I hold l'chein l'dina, bein l'tosvis, which he proved, bein l'Rambam, which he proved, and even Rashi, he suggests, itzer etzicha milo sirtzach, 10 commandments. It says, thou shalt not kill. That applies equally to a fetus. Mamash, the 10 commandments. Except for one small point, and that's if you did kill a fetus, you yourself would not be put to death. You would not get a capital punishment, but it's considered that you are a real murderer. And now, look what source number 7 says. This is a continuation of Moshe. Moshe says, now that I'm saying that that this fetus is a real, real person, and the only time you're ever allowed to kill this fetus is if you are convinced that the baby's a rodef, let me ask you a question. God forbid a woman has a sickness. What doctor? What's the sickness that a woman, that a baby could cause? The good chance of risk to the woman. Give me an example.
Toxemia.
Thank you. What are the what are the percentages?
That what?
That carrying this baby could potentially cause the mother to die. 20-30%?
No, sure.
Okay, give me something that's like 30-40%. 40-45%. I need something where the baby, there's a sickness that there's a 40% chance that carrying this baby will cause the mother to die. Gestational diabetes with toxemia, I don't know, whatever it is. Okay, so the doctor says there's a 40% chance that the mother will die if this baby, if she, they continue this pregnancy. What would you paskin? If there's a guy pointing a gun at you, and there's a 40% chance that he's going to pull the trigger and kill you.
Roulette.
Right. You're playing Russian roulette with somebody. And there are ten bullets in the cylinder, and four of them have a bullet. And he holds it to your head, and he spins the cylinder. And do you consider him a rodef?
Yes.
Six of these 10 cylinders, there's no bullet. 4 out of 10 years. Could you, you know,
yes.
I don't know, snap his neck off, snap his neck and kill him to save your life?
Yes. So make him a nefesh.
Is that Rodef? Is that Rodef? Is it Rodef? Could you take his life if there's only a 40% chance that he's going to try to kill you? Rabosai, look at this Reb Moshe Feinstein's Chumrah. Wow. Source number 7. Umitamza, based on the fact that I just said that it's Ritzicha Mamash, and the only heter is that it's Rodef, Horesti, that means I paskind, I really told this to doctors. Sha'af Sheharofim Omrim, Sheyesh Ksha Shema Tomasayim, there's a possibility, it's toxemia. There's a chance that this toxemia could cause the mother to die. Even if for Chil Shabbos, we drive her to the hospital, actually, Chil Shabbos, we machalim. Even for a little bit of a suffix, you would be Mechal Shabbos. But to kill another person for a small suffix, Mikoma kon laro gesu ubar, yehiye aser, look at this line. Ad shetiyeho umdeno laharofim, until the understanding in the doctor's eyes is, gedola karov levadai, until it's near certain that the mother will die. Why? Since it's a halacha of a rodef, it has to be certain that he's trying to kill you. So I don't really know what the halacha is in that roulette case where four of the ten cylinders have a bullet in it. I don't really know what the halacha is. But says Reb Moshe that if there's a chance that it might cause death, that's not enough to abort.
It only means 50% when he says the
rodef. I don't know. He says it has to be karov levadai shetomos ha'aim.
Past 50%?
I don't know. Karav levadish tamasayim. Those are the words of Reb Moshe, which is incredibly, incredibly machmir. Meaning, until now he said, yeah, I know Reb Moshe doesn't let you do abortions for Tay-Sachs babies, and for Down syndrome babies, and for this type of babies, and for this type of babies, and for rubella babies. But if the baby is endangering the mother, that's, of course, that's an explicit Gemara. You kill the baby. There's nothing to talk about. It's a Mefurash Gemara. Said Reb Moshe, even that, it's only if it's near certain that the mother will die because of this. Pregnancy. But if it's not near certain that the mother will die, let's take the chance. You have no right to kill, take the life of this human being fetus.
That article that I shared with the Rav says, I believe, reflecting what Moshe's feelings about it, that the difficulty is the difficulty of our society when you have a child, even a sex child, who for a short period of time, 18 months, something is going to be fine. Then the problem is, we have to do everything we can to support the family in caring for this child that they've been given by the Rabbi Shalom to take care of as long as they can. And that the problem with the families is, they have no support from the government or from other sources, and so they just collapse under the burden of all this difficulty. But it's not.
That doesn't give you the right to kill somebody. Right. And even there, that's where there's a problem with the baby.
Right.
What this Reb Moshe is saying, even if it's more than that, even if it's a rodef, even if the baby will endanger the mother, still he won't permit it until It's karva vaday, which is an incredible chumrah.
So it's a 40% person standing in front of you to kill you. You're not allowed to kill him?
I'm not sure. I told you I'm not sure.
Guys with a gun, he might miss me, he might...
Right, I'm not
oh
sure.
My goodness.
And crazy. Therefore he concludes, or Moshe concludes this lesson, right? Therefore it's pashut, that there's no difference who this fetus is, whether this fetus is not going to live for a long time, like the machala of Tay-Sachs, as you see in source number 8 in my bold letters, like the sickness I've called Tay-Sachs disease. Even if the kid has Tay-Sachs, there's no heter to abort such a baby, because he's not endangering the mother, and therefore, even though it will be incredibly difficult to raise such a child, it will be incredibly painful, it will be painful for the child, it's so sad, you have no right to murder people because it's so sad. That's Ramosha's conclusion. And now he's taking it to the next step. He says, if that's the case, that there's no point, that you can never do an abortion, unless the mother's in danger, in real, clear and present danger, so is there any point to do genetic, to test the baby while it's in utero? Many women nowadays, many doctors suggest doing an amniocentesis. Amniocentesis is they stick a needle into the amniotic sac, they take out some fluid, they check it if there is, they can find out if the baby has Down syndrome, if the baby has this disease, has other diseases. Is there any point in doing that? No, we're not talking about endangering the mother. We're talking about you want to know what the baby's situation will be. It says Rav Moshe, now that I said that there's no heter to ever abort a baby, there's no heter to
check
and to do an amniocentesis either. Look at source number 9. Umitam ze amarta larofim, shomri Torah, shelo yasu b'dikazu. You shouldn't do this check. I think he's referring to an amniocentesis. Why? Because there's no point. There's no toelis. Because either way I say you're not going to be able to abort based on the amniocentesis. Even if it's the worst case scenario, they find the worst, it's fine. They find that it's a Tay-Sachs baby, God forbid. They're still not going to avail, oh, I'm still not going to permit an abortion. So what's going to happen? One of two points, two things. Either they're going to be miserable for an extra 6 months, the parents will be beside themselves, or they'll go to some doctor who's willing to do an abortion, and they will cause this doctor to murder their child. So the doctor will do murder, and these parents, these Jewish parents, these from parents, will be violating Lifra Iver, inviting the doctor. They'll be excessive, they'll be Lifra Iver. They're aiding and abetting the doctor to do this abortion, which Ramosh is calling a Ritzicha, even in the case of a Tay-Sachs baby.
Even if it's close to Vada, then it's going to happen? It's supposed to...
Even if it's not close to Vada, even if it's 100% Tay-Sachs.
Which might kill the mother.
No. We're not talking about killing the mother anymore.
We're not talking about killing the mother.
If it's endangering, if it's the baby itself is sick, there's no heter to kill to do an abortion.
Rather than, if she knows her child is going to have Tay-Sachs, not take her prenatal vitamins to not encourage the... Not to allow the baby to come to full term, but passively.
That's a different question. I can't go there now. Okay, let's look at, Rav Moshe has a few more points. Now, Rav Moshe said what he says. Now he has to deal with, but there were some achronim who did permit abortions. And some of them were big. They had big names. There was a person named the Maharit, who lived hundreds of years ago. There was a Yaakov Emden, who lived later than the Maharit, I believe, who also was a Gadol Yisrael 200 years before Moshe. They allowed abortions in situations of terrible situations. So how come Moshe is saying you can't? Look what he does. The next paragraph is going to be very interesting. He's basically going to say, anyone who ever said not like me, it's all a mistake. Watch what he's going to do. Again, he's not doing this, just with a swipe of a pen. V'yanti b'chavas yoyer, in source number 10. I looked at the chavas yoyer, and I analyzed the chavas yoyer who permits an abortion in certain circumstances, and I'm convinced, look what I underlined, that's a tar sofer. It's a mistake. The editor must have made a printing mistake. You know what that means. Okay, it happens, right? It could be tar sofer. Well, let's go weiter. There was a Maharit who also permitted an abortion. Iyadi Bahamrit, the Maharit, next paragraph. But I found that indeed there are not only one, but there are two tshuvos. And the two tshuvos contradict one another. So how come the Chavas Yair, or whoever it is, quotes the Maharit that you're allowed to do an abortion? What about the other? How come he doesn't quote the other Maharit? And therefore I'm convinced... Therefore, I'm convinced, I underlined it, Vadai tshuva mizuyafasi, it's a counterfeit tshuva. He doesn't like what's in the tshuva, it happened the tshuva is missing some basic things, it must be it's a counterfeit tshuva. Fascinating. So one thing he already says is the Torah Sofer. The next tshuva he's calling a tshuva mizuyafas, a counterfeit tshuva. And now, next story, look at source number 11. There's another quote that I saw, quoted from the Tshuvas HaRashba. Look what he's going to say here. That the Ramban was, the Tshuvas HaRashba, that the Rashba was a Talmud of the Ramban. And the Rashba records a story that his Rebbe the Ramban, our Rebbe the Ramban, was involved with a non-Jewish woman to cause her, to enable her to abort. Now, Rav Moshe doesn't quote the story, but I have the story quoted. Rav Unterman quotes the story. Zuchurani Shiraisi L'Rashba Zabatshuva. The Rashba and the Tshuva Heid al HaRamban testified about the Ramban that one time Shnis Asik bin Yani Rafua im Goya Achas Shetis Aber Bischar. I guess he was paid or whatever, he helped her do an abortion. Shetapa Pribitna. Etc. Without going into that, look on the bottom line. So right now, Rav Moshe seems to have a Ramban, at least a story of a Ramban against him. Says Rav Moshe, oh, that makes me feel so good. You know why? Because if you look at the Tshuvas HaRashba that we have, that Tshuva doesn't appear in our Rashba. That proves that this story is counterfeit. So that's really the third time he's saying that some other Shita that was not like what Rav Moshe himself holds is a Tosofer, is a mistake, is a counterfeit. Mizuyaf, somebody else wrote it. And that's why it's not in our Tshuvas HaRashba. Okay. Page 7. Now, fine. Look at source number 12. Here, Rav Moshe relates to the Sri Deish. Remember the Sri Deish I told you says you're allowed to do an abortion until 40 days? So Rav Moshe relates to that directly in source number 12 on page 7. Varisi lahagon Rav Yaakov Yechiel Weinberg, Mechar B'Sefer Sri Deish, in his Tshuvas, etc. Ein lismach al dvarav klal. He just says, you can't rely on that. Sri Deish, you can't rely on that Tshuva. Again, he explains what he doesn't like about it. Fine. Next point. So you see what Rav Moshe is doing. He's going step by step. Everyone who said other than him, he's trying to say it's a mistake, it's a Torah Sofer, it's counterfeit, you can't rely on it. Okay. Now look at source number 14. Source number 14 relates to a Rav Yaakov Emden. Rav Yaakov Emden ben Tzvi, he's the son of the Chacham Tzvi, and therefore his nickname is Yaivitz. Yaakov Emden ben Tzvi, Yaivitz. He quotes the Yaivitz. The Yaivitz, we went through the Yaivitz's tshuva a week or two ago, and the Yaivitz says something wild, which is almost, I don't even want to say what he says, but he said that if a baby is a mamzer, and the mother did an avera, and the baby is born out of an avera. So since you could kill the mother, theoretically, if we had a Beis HaMikdash, we'd kill this mother. If she did a znus, if she was adulterous. So, therefore, in such a case, you should be able to do an abortion on the baby, because the baby deserves to be killed. That's what the Yaakov Emden said, which is wild and crazy. But he says, since you could kill the mother in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, therefore, right now, nowadays, you could do an abortion to such a baby who is born out of the mother's Avera. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, this is a very strong proof, strong response. Wait a second. When does a person who, let's say somebody's Mechal Shabbos, let's say I am Mechal Shabbos this coming week, could you kill me on Sunday? Bizman Hazeh. No, why not?
You're not the person.
What do you mean? There are two witnesses, the whole shul. I'm the rabbi. I go in front of the shul, as after, right before Musaf, I stand up in front of the shul before Musaf, and I say, my dear friends, please look at me. I'm about to give my drasha, but I'm nervous, I'm tense, I don't think it's a good drasha. I take out a cigarette from my pocket, I take out a matchbox, I light the match in front of the whole shul, plenty of Edom, kosher Edom.
On Shabbos?
On Shabbos. I light the match on Shabbos, I smoke my cigarette, and I give my drasha. So now I'm chayiv misa, right? And you warned me. You said, Rabbi Orlin, if you do that, you're going to be chayiv misa. And I said, you know what? I know that, and I don't care about it. I did a hasra. I got a hasra.
But there's no court system.
Exactly. Cesar Moshe Feinstein, when is a person who violates an avera chayiv misa? Not when they did the act, but when they announces, they bang the gavel, they pronounce him, you are here by chayiv misa. At that moment, then you're chayiv misa. Meaning, if I steal money from you, I owe you money, whether or not the Beis Din says I owe you money. But if I'm to get a capital punishment like Malkos or Misa, just because I do a losa, I say, it doesn't mean I deserve Malkos. I have to deserve Malkos. And then the Beis Din say, you hereby get Malkos, then I'm chayiv Malkos. When does a person become chayiv b'misa? When they are not just did something wrong, accused of doing something wrong, found to do something wrong, only when the Beis Din actually paskens, you are hereby chayiv misa, that's the moment that the person becomes chayiv misa. If we don't have a Sanhedrin, we don't have a Beis Hamikdash nowadays, we don't have a Beis Din that has the capacity to give a capital punishment, we don't have anyone who's chayiv misa. And therefore, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, that's a true point. How could the Rav Yaakov Emden say that this mother deserves to be killed, and therefore you could, if she became pregnant out of adultery, and this baby deserves to be killed with his mom, who should be killed, therefore you could abort the baby? No, you can't. There's no chiyuv misa. Yes, the mother did a sin that in the time of Beis Hamikdash, if the Beis Din paskened, would get chiyuv misa, but says Rav Moshe, absent the psak din of the Beis Din, there is no chiyuv misa. So, therefore, Rav Moshe, that I think is a very good critique. Rejects that Yaivitz, that Rav Yaakov Emden, who says you could abort if the mother was an adulteress.
Such an obvious refutation by Rav Moshe. What would the Yaivitz say to that? When we discussed that when we first went to Yaivitz.
Yeah, I hear. It's a very short Yaivitz. Yeah.
Also,
I guess partially because the Yaivitz doesn't really hold this baby as a real baby. That's probably what's...
He's combining Kula.
The Ravitz is saying he doesn't see it as a real life. Rav Moshe sees the baby as a real life, as a human being, and a Ratzicha, and therefore Moshe seems to probably takes it much more seriously. But so for the Ravitz, it's not such a big deal anyway, because the baby's not a real life anyway.
So how does the Rav Moshe reconcile the fact that if she was an adulteress, or Michal Shabbos, she would put the baby to death?
Rav Moshe wouldn't.
The Gemara says that.
In the time of Beis Hamikdash,
yeah, why? It's an independent person, according to Moshe.
Oh, so the Gemara says. If a woman is if the Beis Din does pass that a woman is to be put to death,
yeah,
then yes, we kill the baby with her. We learn from the pasuk. Gam shneihem. Success concept, yeah.
Does not make sense.
Right. That's pasuk.
The Gemara does have a phrase though, all over, that a person even nowadays is chayav misa, even though you can't give it to them.
That's but true. There's a chiyuv misa label on that person.
Yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of things.
Yeah, that's true.
But there's a chiyuv misa on that person.
No, afal pish ein misa, din misa yesh lahem.
Right, that's what
so
it means.
Don't say the word chiyuv misa, say that Hashem will see to it.
There's a chiyuv misa, but we can't do it, but there was a chiyuv misa label on you.
But no, until the psak based in, there's no chiyuv misa. The person did an avera that carries a chiyuv misa, but
right.
The person
so
is not chayiv misa.
So the phrase is used in Shas many places, chayiv misa.
The Gemara in Sanhedrin doesn't say chayiv misa.
It doesn't say many places chayiv misa, but it's ma misa. So you chayiv misa, period.
Right. So no, that's not what it means.
But it's labeled as you.
No.
That's the way phrase many people should learn it.
So, the next point, and then, of course, we had that other crazy point in the Yaivis that said that if somebody did something that's chayv misa, maybe they should take their own life. Rav Moshe says that's absurd. That's right before 15. And now let's look at 15, and we'll see. I don't know if we'll get to the Rav Unterman, but let's finish off Rav Moshe's tshuva, and that'll be it for tonight. And he says, why am I writing such a harsh tshuva? He's mamish bashing every person who came before him. And he's taking a very strong stance that is considered murder, and he explains himself now. He says, let me explain why I'm doing this. Kasav, the source number 15. Kasavti kol zeh le'inyon ha-pirtza ha-gadola. This terrible outbreak, ba'olam, shehamalchios daharbi medinos. There are many governments, hitiru la'ro gubrim, permit abortion. And you know who's included in that list of countries that permit abortion in certain situations? Uvisocham gam rashi ha-medina b'medinos Yisrael. Even in Eretz Yisrael, in Medinas Yisrael. there are those who are permitting abortion. Uchvar nehergu ubrim le'ein mispar. And there are countless fetuses that have been killed. Rabosai, right now in Eretz Yisrael, there are plenty of abortions. There are thousands of abortions every year, I'm assuming. There are organizations called Crib, Efrat, that I actually do give money to. They try to find those, through social workers, they find those women, young women usually, whatever it is, single women, or who happen to find themselves pregnant, and they want to abort only for financial reasons. They say, we'll carry you. We'll give you financial, we'll give you money, we'll support the baby, we'll take care of, don't abort for financial reasons. That's a wonderful tzedakah. It's pikuach nefesh, it's pidyon shvu, whatever you want to call it, it's an incredible tzedakah. But it's true, and there are thousands of abortions every year. And therefore, he says, I have to make a siyag la-Torah, and certainly can't be makel in this terrible iser v'tzicha. Now look what he says. Uh-oh, now getting into the real boxing ring. 15, in paragraph 15, in the second paragraph. L'chein nishtomamti, I am bewildered. B'r'osi tshuva mechacham echa b'Eretz Yisrael, I am bewildered for having read a tshuva from a certain rabbi in Israel that was written, a tshuva that was written, l'menayel beis hacholam sharei tzedek, he specifies. That's the tshuva that sits at the
end.
Menahel Beis HaCholim, the hospital, Shari Tzedek Hospital, this is the Tzitz Eliezer's tshuva, that he wrote to the medical director of Shari Tzedek, where Hamatir Havlados B'machlas Tesex Lapilo. The Tzitz Eliezer permitted to abort a Tesex fetus. And the Tzitz Eliezer Haven Mihamar Rit, that I told you was a mistake. V'gam Kosav Hashelas Yaivitz Matir. Even though I said that the Rav Moshe says I rejected the Ibits, etc. And therefore, look at the end of that paragraph. And Rav Tzitz Eliezer permitted to abort a Tesex fetus until the Tesex baby is 7 months old. Says Rav Moshe, where in the world did you get that number from? I don't know the number 7 months from any other area of halacha. Ubor upasher kidakasafti. She'aser b'din retzicha mamish, kol ubar. Every fetus is subject to retzicha mamish. There's no heter for any abortion ever for the sake of the fetus. The only heter is for if the fetus is being rode, if the mother in a clear and present danger, that's genuine danger. Bein kosher bein mamzer, whether the baby, the fetus is a kosher or a mamzer. Bein stam ubrim, v'hein ha'idun l'chol tesex, whether it has its regular, it has tesex. Kol asur medina mamish. And therefore, ein litos velismuch al tshuvas chacham zeh. You cannot rely on the tshuva of this chacham. Yeah?
I don't understand why it's Rav Moshe's Torah. They say, before 40 days.
Rav Moshe prohibits before 40 days.
Why? I don't understand. It's
Maya Ba'am. So Rav Moshe holds not like this. The Svidyesh said it's Maya Ba'am. Rav Moshe says, in one aspect, in Hilchas Tshuva, maybe it's Maya Ba'am, but as far as not being able to kill him, it's Ritzicha. Because in Rav Moshe's eyes, the fact that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for him, Rav Moshe sees it, that shows you that you can't kill him either. The Svidyesh said, no, you could, there's two different things.
Right.
We split the pie. We make a chilah. So that's the tshuva of Rav Moshe. And we basically finished Rav Moshe's tshuva.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.